A heads up, our next story contains mature language because we'll be discussing sex on college campuses. So take note. Some college freshmen have already attended pre-orientation classes sitting through lectures about sexual behavior on campus. Some schools require students to fill out honor code forms, agreeing to behave in a sexually appropriate manner. Our colleague's son just returned from a session and reported that nearly a full day was spent learning the meaning of consent. Among the schools that have incorporated sexual assault and consent awareness into their freshman curricula in recent years are George Washington University, Indiana University, Rutgers, Stanford. Cindy Pierce is a sex educator and the author of the soon-to-be-released Sexploitation, Helping Kids Develop Healthy Sexuality in a Porn-Driven World. She's also a popular speaker on college campuses. And to those who say the new awareness programs are overkill, she says, based on what she sees, the exact opposite is true. She joins us from the studios of Dartmouth University in New Hampshire, where she's a frequent lecturer. And Cindy, do we understand you had no intention of doing this, but you had a niece and nephew at Dartmouth?
Yeah, I really assume that in the digital age that kids had access to all the information they needed. I thought they were more informed than any generation before. And when my nephew's friends found out, my niece's friends found out that I talked about sex and had a one-woman show, they asked me to come speak to their groups, their fraternity and their sorority. And in that process, I learned that it's almost the reverse. There's so much on the internet. There's so much misleading information. Certainly porn is the number one sexuality educator for a lot of young men, that people are way off the rails and, you know, misinformed. They have skewed expectations about how sex should be, how bodies look and respond. So I realized, okay, maybe I'll get this going with this group and then everything will be fine. And then I discovered this was really quite a problem for a lot of young people
across the country. And not only are they young people getting their information from the internet, that's where they are, on the internet. So they're not having that face-to-face contact that young people might have to evolve to a sexual awareness and relationship.
Yeah, that's a big problem, is that social cues, reading social cues, is compromised in this day and age because so much of a person's social life is done on a screen. They don't see their text land. They don't see how the person responded. And when we talk about consent, you know, people are having trouble reading social cues, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday in broad daylight. And then you add, you know, alcohol, you add it's dark, and you add optimistic arousal, and you got trouble.
Optimistic arousal. What's that?
Well, I feel like that's where people's judgment gets off. When you are in the
heat of the moment.
Heat of the moment. You're in the heat of the moment, and some young people say, well, I think it would be awkward to ask for consent at that point. Well, that's a red flag right there. Some people say, well, I wouldn't want to hear a no because I'm already there. And then some people say it would be awkward to do that. Well, you're already naked. Sex is awkward. You got two people naked in bed. That's a recipe for shame and disaster in itself. So, you know, you really got to communicate and talk to each other.
Well, but optimistic arousal, I love that. I love what that means, this idea that, well, maybe, I mean, I really want this to happen. So maybe if I just optimistically proceed as if it's going to, instead of taking what steps? What's being talked about with kids about consent? And where do you see from your experience, maybe we can do it better?
Okay, so the movement towards affirmative consent, this kind of language has been talked about for over a decade. And, you know, we hear it as enthusiastic consent, positive active consent, you know, yes means yes, wait for a hell yes. There's all different ways it's being presented to kids in different schools and in different environments with different presenters. But why we've moved there is most kids understand that no means no, and most people understand that you can't physically restrain. But the level of drinking that's the accepted heavy drinking scene on most college campuses has made it so, you know, this is where the optimism. Well, I could turn that no into a yes, or that looks like a yes. And when your judgment is skewed when you're at that point. And
well, I just want to jump in to say that, you know, when you say kids know you can't restrain, you can't tie someone up, that's, you know, without incredible affirmative consent, that's illegal. But as you point out, alcohol restrains. Alcohol may be the same as tying somebody up.
In a sense, I mean, the law says a intoxicated person cannot really give consent, but social life on colleges are set up. There's sort of an unspoken social contract that the party scene is. There's going to be a lot of drinking going on, and moderation is not really a deal right now. It's almost easier for kids who don't drink, because when you don't drink, it's clear and easier to hold that line. But to attempt or start out with the intention to moderately drink very quickly changes, because there's so much pressure to pregame before you get to a party if you're underage, to drink quickly. There's a lot of competitive games. Hard alcohol that used to make people wretch is now flavored.
So obviously, this is a huge concern of yours, that the conversation about consent is wrapped up in the conversation about drinking. What do you do about that? What do you tell young people in language that they can take in, you know, students and such? If you can't make decisions when you're drunk, what good does it do to tell somebody when you're drunk you won't be able to tell if you really have consent?
Well, this is really about reorienting people, because teaching people that no means no hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. We all know young women who have not reported being sexually assaulted, and we all know women who have been sexually assaulted who have gone through the process. So instead of a checklist, instead of thinking of that as a checklist, it's not that unreasonable to ask people to say, is this okay? Do you like this? And the question is, do you know this person well enough? Are you connected in a way well enough, not through text? Did you meet through text? Is that how you interact? And now the reality is there's no app to get you through the face-to-face naked place. So you've got to communicate, and you've got to communicate clearly. And I find that when I talk to young people about this, they are more receptive to it, people who are in college, than people who are recently graduated up through middle age, who are so freaked out and think, oh, the checklist, this is so absurd. But it's just not that unreasonable to me to sort of check in. And when people say, well, I can read the body language, or people my age say to young people, you should be able to read the body language. You can't read the body language. That has not been working. We know that's clear.
Yeah. Well, I would add that I think a lot of young women would like to have someone who would talk to them,
yeah,
and ask them what they're thinking and what they're wanting. That's not news that women like to communicate. But then you kind of keep circling back to the problem that maybe they can't communicate because of the drinking. How else do you appeal to young people to get them to, I don't know, partner up with role models?
I talk to people about gathering your healthy crew. And what I mean by a healthy crew, who are your role models? The older people in your life you look to, you know, to whom you can go to when you have questions, as well as who are the peers? Who are the peers who are not necessarily your teammates or your fraternity brothers or in your secret society or in your organization, but who are your dear friends who have your back, both in that they will support you, as well as call you out and say, you know what, that wasn't a great choice. Maybe you shouldn't have posted that.
Well, in fact, aren't we hearing that young men on college campuses are leading the consent movements?
That's the great thing, is this is what's shifting. And I was surprised. I almost gave up speaking on some campuses because I felt like there wasn't a lot of change. But here at Dartmouth, these young men came to me and asked me to speak in an event. And I thought, you know what? This is the first time that young men have come to me and said, come and speak, because I think there's a lot of fear that they're going to be scolded and blamed and that we're going to wag our finger. And, you know, that has traditionally been the case. And I use humor. I'm very aware of the vulnerabilities that young men deal with. I'm aware of, you know, all the issues around porn. And, you know, people say, well, my son doesn't look at porn. Well, you know what? They tried to do a study of college men who don't look at porn. They couldn't find a study group. So let's get real here.
Well, let's talk about that, because there's so much more access than ever before to images in privacy. It's the internet. Why do you feel it's so important to talk about pornography?
I think pornography, I have no intention of stopping the porn industry. It's not possible.
Well, you can. You're right. It's bigger than the NFL, the NBA, and MLB combined.
Yes. Huge. And so I want educated viewers. I want viewers aware of what's real, what's not real. So my feeling is when I talk to young guys about porn, they have so many questions because it's not working. When they try to convert what they're learning into a sexual encounter, it's not working. And they're confused about female pleasure. That's my real hook.
Well, why? What are some of the things? I mean, porn can be very violent, for instance.
Well, they ask, you know, so women really like to be raped? Is that true? And women really like to be tied up?
They ask you that.
Well, they do, and they ask you that straight up. And they're looking for answers, and the first place they go is porn. You know, I tell young women, be the GPS, guide them in. But once again, so many women say, if he asked, I'd tell him everything. And the guy say, I don't want to ask because I think I'm supposed to know. And there is the biggest problem, not being comfortable, not knowing. And I think around sexuality, that's the key, asking questions, getting help. And this is where the healthy crew, I'm 49, I have panels and panels of healthy crew in different realms of my life, and I go to for feedback and insight and, you know, information. And I think not knowing, being willing to fail and stumble, that's something we need to instill. You know, complicated terrain.
Complicated terrain is right. And Cindy Pierce navigates it. She's a New Hampshire-based sex educator, lecturer, author of the soon-to-be-released Sexploitation, Helping Kids Develop Healthy Sexuality in a Porn-Driven World. And now lectures across the country on college campuses. Cindy, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. It was great to be here.
So, young men getting their thoughts on rape from porn films. Your thoughts. Too much emphasis on consent, or if you're student or parent, are you glad the new programs are there? Weigh in. HereAndNow.org.